Welcome to Changed by Love Radio with Pastor Jim Kevney. Pastor Jim's desire is to teach the Word of God with passion and simplicity, as well as a direct application to our daily lives.
You know, you become like the people you hang out with generally, don't you? So one of the things I used to always tell the teenagers. And here, we've continuously followed Jesus, and clearly Jesus is talking about a personal relationship that his people have with him. Yet, this is the thing I love about Jesus. He's not just gonna be like, okay, I got my people and that's it. He keeps inviting more and more people into the family of God.
Have you ever been around a group of people which you'd like to join, but you just can't seem to break into it? It's a closed group of friends, and basically, they don't want to let anyone else in. Pastor Jim assures you today, Jesus is not like that. Jesus invites you to become one of his people today. You can receive him or reject him. There's no middle ground. He's calling you, but you must respond. And if you come to him, he promises to hold on to you so strongly that no one can pull you out of his hand. Well, let's join Pastor Jim in the book of John chapter 10 as he continues his message. Secure in the hands of Jesus.
I'm the good shepherd. My sheep, they follow me. The reason you don't follow me, you're not my sheep. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. They hear me, I know them, they follow me. So again, he said it in verse 25, and now he says it in verse 26, you do not believe. So what's he saying to them? This is a spiritual issue. This is not about me and my miracles and my ability to do stuff and who I am. This is a spiritual issue. In other words, he's saying to the religious leaders, you don't believe in God. Now, can I say something that I'll get, people will listen to me on the radio and send me all kinds of nasty things? I hope I'm wrong. But I believe that most people who go to Christian churches in the United States of America that would call themselves Christians are not Christians. They really don't believe. Because they're into entertainment church. They're into, you know, soft peddling it. They're into, you know, got to be rich and famous, all the kind of stuff. Remember we talked about in the abundant life. They're about all this other stuff. You know, Jesus doesn't get all intellectual with them, and there's nothing wrong with that. Some people, that's the place where you have to meet them. Jesus simply says, you are not of my sheep. Now, what is that? That is Old Testament language from Jeremiah 23 and Ezekiel 34. They're metaphors, but here's where the religious leaders would really get upset. The speaker in those two places is God. And Jesus is now saying, I'm God. That's what they're hearing, because that's what he's saying. I'm God. Jesus says, you don't believe in me, and you are not one of God's people. Now, notice how direct he is with these people. Notice how direct he is. He doesn't soft pedal it. He tells them the absolute truth. Now, with some people, maybe you need to be a little bit more firm, but other people, you'd need to be kind. And you need to explain that to them. Because do not think that most people understand the good news of the gospel. Most people do not. Because, do you know, in most churches, where the most liberal person in the church in terms of theology stands. I'm not talking about politics, we'll get theology. Do you know where they stand? In the pulpit. That's where most of them stand. And they're trying to export that stuff to the people in their congregation. Now, for me, I'm just too afraid of God. I'm being honest with you. So I just go through line by line. This is what he's saying. A lot of times I'll say to God when I'm getting a message ready, I'm going, I can't say that. And he's like, just say it, boy. Just say it or deal with me. And I'm like, okay, right? All right. So that's it. Verse 27 goes back to what was said at the beginning of the chapter, but there's an important difference. Back then at the beginning of the chapter, it was the sheep's knowledge of the shepherd. But now Jesus says, I know them. To me, this explains a lot of nasty church people. You know any nasty church people? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They think they know God, but they don't. But they don't. You know, it's a nice thing that people say about you. They say about you guys that you're so nice. And then I tell them, they're not really that nice. No, that's not what I say. Okay? But I go, but I said, you know what? Because if we speak firmly what Jesus says and we listen to him, somehow it produces loving people. And that's just the way it is. So these people are just, they don't love God. And most of all, this is what he says, that his sheep follow him and his sheep follow me. But the word follow is continuously. They're continuously following Jesus. And when you're continuously following Jesus, you will change. You know, you become like the people you hang out with generally, don't you? So one of the things we used to always tell the teenagers. And here, we've continuously followed Jesus. And clearly, Jesus is talking about a personal relationship that his people have with him. Yet, this is the thing I love about Jesus. He's not just going to be like, okay, I got my people and that's it. He keeps inviting more and more people into the family of God. That's why every week we try to invite more and more people into the family of God to put their faith and trust in Jesus and enter into that personal relationship. Now, people constantly debate these things. We're going to get into a couple of debates that people have today. One is what we call divine sovereignty and human responsibility. So we'll talk about it in a bit. God calls and you have to answer. It's that simple. It's that simple. Both are needed. Now, let's be honest for a second. And maybe if you're here today and you're not a follower of Jesus, you're not going to like what I'm going to say, but you need to hang in there with me. People who are not followers of Jesus have lots of excuses, don't they? Lots of excuses. Well, I grew up in church and I met this, you know, I knew this nasty church lady. You're going to let her keep you out of heaven? She ain't going. You're going to do that? Come on. But what about when you meet God? What are you going to say? Have you thought about that? If you know the honeymooners, if you're young, you have no idea what I'm talking about. Google it when you go home. But Ralph Cramden used to go, hamana, hamana, hamana. That's my impression of when I meet God. Why should I let you in? Ahamana, ahamana, ahamana. No, you know what I'm going to say? I'm going to go, I'm with him. It's my lawyer. Jesus, have you met him? That's it. He's the guy going to get me in. He's the guy going to get me in. And if you're not yet a follower of Jesus, trust me, today Jesus Christ will call you to put your faith and trust in him. And the question is, what will you do? What will you do? Jesus died on the cross in your place for your sins. He is the only one who can save you from your sins. And Jesus is the only one that can prepare you to stand in front of a holy God. I have no intention of standing before God as Pastor Jim. Who the heck is Pastor Jim? Seriously. I want to stand in front of God as one of Jesus' sheep. That's it. That's it. And what will prepare you to stand in front of God like that? What we call the gospel, the good news. And today, if you're not a follower of Jesus, through faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the gift of forgiveness of sins and eternal life is offered to you. But what will you do? You can't fake God out. That's the thing. What will you do? Now, you might be sitting here and you might say, and this is a perfectly legitimate answer, I don't know. Listen very carefully to what Jesus says in verse 28 and 29. I give them eternal life. Nobody else, he's saying. I do. Not me. I. Jesus is saying, I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. That means you will never die. Never die. The Bible says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Verse 29, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Jesus Christ will soon die on the cross. He will rise from the dead and ascend to heaven. And so what is he saying to people right now? I am here today to offer to anyone listening to me, and back then and today, I'm offering to you and giving you eternal life if you will put your faith and your trust in me. What does that look like? Jesus said, repent and believe. You repent, you turn to God, and you say, I have been walking that way, you are this way, I am a sinner, I need to be forgiven, and I need your help to walk with and live with you. Then you look at that cross and you say, that should have been me. And this is, you explain this to people this way. You just say, that should have been me. See, people say, Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Fine. But did he die on the, and then you say to people, did he die on the cross for your sins? And so you say, that should have been me, not him. And he did that for me. And those Jesus gives this life to, he says, will never perish. And that is for all eternity. Why? He just told us, because they are secure in the hands of Jesus. That's why. While we call it eternal life, it's more than just time. It's a quality of life given to us by Jesus Christ. But that's why we have to spend a lot of times preaching the gospel to ourselves. Stop listening to ourselves. You ever listen to yourself when you're telling yourself a bunch of baloney? Oh, come on, you know you do it all the time, right? You got to stop that. And you got to say, no, that's not true. That's not true. And just listen to Jesus. Loved ones, this is very important to see what Jesus says. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Why is that so important? Essentially, eternal life depends on Jesus holding on to you. Not you're holding on to Jesus. But do we hold on to Jesus? Yes, we do. But he's the one who's got the hold on us. And this is part of the abundant life. And again, you've got to preach this stuff to yourself daily. You got to hang on the word of God. In verse 29, once again, Jesus connects himself to God the Father. And he says, Jesus' sheep are in God the Father's hands as well. Now, back in chapter 5, Jesus taught us that God the Father gave him authority, judgment, and he's the key to eternal life. So what is he saying here now? That the hand of the Father is the hand of the Son. It's one and the same. If there's two hands, we'll take two hands, but we only need one, right? So the emphasis is on Jesus Christ's ability, his firm grip to hold you all the way to heaven as you walk with him. Now, are there going to be days when you do better than others? Of course there's going to be that. But we have to keep these things and remember that we are being held in the grip of Jesus. We call this eternal security, or some people call it the perseverance of the saints. Now, some of you say, I'm no saint. I know what you mean. But remember, we talked about this recently in 1 Corinthians. They called them the saints in Corinth, and then the whole rest of the letters about what a hot mess that church was. So God's people can be a hot mess sometimes. But the saints are the people who put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. So what is that? It is a present reality and an eternal destiny for a follower of Jesus. Now, when we come to verse 29, he gives us another assurance. In verse 28, he said, no one will snatch them out of my hand, right? That's what Jesus said. Now, that word snatch is violent. He said, even, and I don't care how violent they come, they will not snatch you out of my hand. But then in verse 29, when talking about the Father, he uses a very interesting term. He says, no one is able to. No one is able to. Now, I know some of us have been through various church backgrounds, and We think, well, if you sin, you're done, or the devil's coming, or, you know. But you know who the biggest enemy is for most of us? Ourselves. Yeah, ourselves. And Jesus says, not even you will be able to snatch yourself out of my Father's hand. Now, people ask me this question periodically, and I know we've been all raised with different kinds of stuff. Can you lose your salvation? It's a fairly common question that I get. And because some of you have been taught that, so I'm just going to give you my view. And when we found out I was right, when we get to heaven, I won't brag. First off, I think the question's bad. The question might be, can you give it back? Although I'm not in that camp. I think that you can't lose your salvation. I think the problem is a lot of people were never saved. And can I say this to my older friends right now? A lot of older people are falling away from the faith right now in our country. A lot of them. It's just like they're giving up. And I want to be like, what? What? You follow somebody for 30 or 40 years and you're going to give up now? I mean, what is that? So I think that, again, I think that such people perhaps were never saved. Yet those who have the security of knowing without taking it for granted, okay, don't take it for granted that you're secure in Jesus Christ. Now, you say, well, I'm not so sure about that. Well, why believe me? Why don't we listen to the Apostle Paul? Romans 8:35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? You know, that was all his life. We have a bad day at work and we're like, ah, I'm not even saved anymore, I don't think. Right? No. He's like, listen, God's got us. Drop down to verse 38, Romans 8:38 and 39. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing, watch this, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What does Paul say? I've been through so much stuff. I've been arrested. I've been shipwrecked. I've been bit by snakes. I've been dragged out of town and thought for dead. I was in jail for years. That's the only way they can slow me down to write letters for the churches for people like us. But nothing, nothing can separate me from the love of God. Verse 30, put your seatbelts on. Jesus says, I and my Father are one. Another version say, I and the Father are one. What is Jesus saying? I am part of the Trinitarian God. Same mission. What a rebuke to the unbelief of the religious leaders. Jesus says, we are different, but we are one. Some people say sometimes God is Jesus, sometimes he's God the Father, sometimes he's the Holy Spirit. That is false doctrine, false doctrine. And when they say that to you, just say this. Okay, was Jesus in Mary's belly? Yes. Who was running the universe? Okay. But no, they are three. The three are one and the one are three. Not the easiest concept, maybe a subject for another day. Here, Jesus is saying to us that Jesus and God the Father are both dedicated to not only saving souls, but not letting anyone steal them back from them. In other words, when you put your faith and trust in Jesus, you belong to Jesus. And Jesus is not like, no, you can't have them back. You can't. And you're like, well, I don't want to be a Christian anymore, Jesus. And you're like, he's like, well, either you are or you're not. Let's figure that out. Verse 24, the people asked Jesus for the truth and they got it. In verse 31, watch the answer. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Are they confused with what he's saying? No, no, they are not. So Jesus is very forthright about it. Receive Jesus or reject Jesus. There is no middle ground. Now, people like to maybe think there's the mushy metal. There's no mushy metal. Okay? You either receive him or you reject him. And sadly, many people reject Jesus. And we can't do that. I want to give you two examples. Two guys who traveled with Jesus for 3+ years. One guy was the name of Peter, and one guy was the name of Judas. Now, Judas probably looked like the best of all the apostles. You say, why that? He was in charge of the money. He was stealing, but Jesus knew it. Both denied Jesus. Judas probably maybe thinking he wanted to maybe get a better career out of something like that, and he sold out Jesus to money to the religious leaders. And Peter, when he followed Jesus when he got arrested, and anytime anybody asked him if he knew him, he goes, I don't know him. I don't know him. I don't know him. And what happened? Judas died without salvation. He died without salvation. But what did Peter do? He came back to Jesus. And he said, I messed up. And I'm sorry. And I don't know if you can use my life anymore. And he still got in trouble in the book of Acts. But God used his life in a mighty, mighty way. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you feel like you've just messed up and God could never take you back. And Jesus is saying, oh, no, 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 no. Wrong, 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 wrong. Peter messed up and he came back and look what I did with him. And maybe coming back was part of God's design for your life, that you would come back and knowing that he took you back, that's when he's really ready to go to work with you. It's a wonderful thing. Mark 8:36 says this, what will it profit a man if? That is a huge if. Huge if. What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? It's so interesting. Now they're talking about the fact that with the AI thing that we might be getting trillionaires and stuff like that. Billionaires are not enough. What good is it to have all that money and lose your soul? You're not going to be able to bribe people in heaven, bribe some guy at the gate. That's not the way it works. See, there's a tension in saving faith, and it's something we all have to realize. There's God's part and there's our part. We call this the effectual call. We talk about it a lot. And it is Jesus Christ, through his Holy Spirit, calling us to put our faith and trust in him. It is the power of Jesus calling you. How will you respond? And people get all in a knot about this stuff. And there's that old illustration that goes like this, that you're walking into heaven and you see up at the top of the gates of heaven, it says, come to me, all of you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And you're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then you walk in the door and you turn around and you look back and it says, chosen since the foundations of the world. So does God choose you or do you choose God? Yes. Yes. Now, the most important thing is the effectual call, the power of Jesus calling you. But again, it's how will you respond? God calls us, but we must respond. And our response to the call matters. And it matters a lot. So if you're not a follower of Jesus, I want to ask you today, how are you responding to the call of Jesus? If you're not a follower of Jesus, right now, Jesus is calling you to repent and believe, to turn to him and trust in him. And your decision affects all eternity. And if you are already a follower of Jesus, God has been calling you to the next step in your faith. What is that next step for you? Why? Because now you are secure in the hands of Jesus.
You have been listening to Changed by Love, the teaching ministry of Pastor Jim Kevney. We hope and pray that Pastor Jim's simple and passionate verse-by-verse, line-by-line teaching through the Gospel of John is growing you in your Christian faith. Would you like to hear this message again? Simply log on to our website, changedbyloveradio.org. There, you can listen to archived broadcasts, load our mobile app, as well as listen to Pastor Jim's easy-to-follow verse-by-verse teaching on much of the Bible. Make sure you tell your friends and family about Changed by Love on this station, as well as how to listen to Pastor Jim on our website and mobile app. Changed by Love is a listener-supported ministry that exists due to the generosity of people like you. Just go to our website, changedbyloveradio.org, and hit the donate button in order to partner with us. Your donations help us to produce more shows, purchase radio time, and do whatever it takes for Changed by Love to reach more people with the gospel. We would also love to hear from you. Please email us at changedbyloveradio@gmail.com. In the next edition of Changed by Love, Pastor Jim will continue teaching through the Gospel of John. Please join us at this same time, and please make plans to join us again to be encouraged, comforted, and challenged by the Word of God. When you write to us, please let us know where the station is, and please give us the station's name. Until then, stay close to Jesus, and we know that you too will be changed by His love.